Hey everyone, welcome to the Grabs Podcast. I'm your host today. My name is Grant. I'm with Lieutenant Brian Phillips. He's with the Haltham City Fire Department, and they're in Texas. We're going to talk about a grab that his crew made on December 4th, 2022. So, Lieutenant Brian, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your fire department?
Yes, sir. So my name is Brian Phillips. I work at Haltham City Fire Department. I've been here around 13 years at this department. Our city, we have three stations. We have a truck and an engine up north at Station 3, and then an engine battalion at Station 1, and then at Station 2 we have a Quint and a heavy rescue. The rescue is not staffed.
What's the staffing level on those, on all that apparatus?
Usually the truck will have four, and then we catch four next, and then everybody else drops from there as people take off. If everybody's here, we have four on everything.
And then do you guys do any auto aid with surrounding departments, or do you guys do your own thing?
Yes, sir. So we do mutual aid with all of our neighboring departments. So to our, we're just northeast of downtown Fort Worth, so a couple miles outside of downtown. So Fort Worth is on one side, and then we have Watauga, North Hills, and Richland Hills all border us, and we go auto aid to all of those cities.
So then, what do you guys get on a regular alarm for a house fire?
On a regular alarm in Haltham, we catch all of our units. So we have typically we'll have two engines, a Quint, truck, battalion, a medic crew, and then one additional mutual aid company, whether it be an engine or a Quint.
And then, as crews are arriving on scene, how do the tasks get divvied up? Is it like standing orders, or do you guys have, or is it incident command driven, or what?
So there's not pre-assignments or anything like that. Typically the engine's going to be fire tack, and then the Quint or the truck that's coming closest will catch search next. And then from there, it just plays out to what's needed.
And then what, I know it's probably different based on the air, different areas within your district, but what's the usual time delay between first and second due and third due and whatnot?
So our whole city is 12 square miles. So all the companies are getting on scene really quick. And our mutual aid companies, they're all of those stations are really close. So like this fire in particular, the first unit was on in 2 minutes, second unit is on in 3.5 minutes, and that's pretty typical.
Nice. Talk to us a little bit about the search culture that you guys got going on there. Who's doing searches? Well, you kind of hit it's the Quint or the truck, but how are you guys teaching search, and do you do oriented, split, VES, all the above? What's that like for you guys?
So our search culture, we've always been an aggressive department. But even like 10 years ago, it was always aggressive on the fire side. But search, you might get assigned, pull a second hand line and search. But that's progressed to where search isn't on a hand line now. And it's usually the truck or the Quint that catches that job. As far as training goes, we train on oriented, VES, and split. So like this fire in particular, we use split and oriented throughout the same structure. So we train at least as a department a couple times a year on search, but then most of the training is at the company level.
Nice. All right, let's go back to December 4th, 2022, and talk about this fire.
Yes, sir. So we were dispatched to possible structure fire about 4 in the morning. The only note said somebody has a green line spraying in the window. And engine one, this particular fire was in between station one and station two. Engine one was first on scene, and they were actually on a reserve truck. All of our reserves were out of service. So at midnight that night, they had to go and get a neighboring city's reserve. So they had been on that truck for a couple hours, starting at midnight. This came on in at 4 in the morning. And then that crew was also an overtime lieutenant. So it wasn't his normal crew, and he had a probationary firefighter he's never worked with. So they had some things they were dealing with automatically just going to this fire. And then coming out of station two, I was also on overtime with not my normal crew, but it is guys that I've worked with before, so we had a familiarity. Engine one got on scene, and there was small one-story residence, brick home. Most of our city is small houses, so it's pretty typical for our house fires to be 1,000 square foot to 1,200 square foot homes. As you go north, they get a little bigger, but most of our city's that way. They pull up to a brick home, neighbor saying there was somebody out here earlier, but that's all information they had. And then there's fire blowing out the Bravo side, so it's already vented out a bedroom window. We got there about a minute and a half later. So as they're going in the front door, we're walking up the same time. So we're following right behind the engine crew. And in this house, you walk in the straight hallway as soon as you open the front door. To the right was a garage, and then left was like a little living area, and then a bedroom on the left. And the bedroom on the left is where all the fire was. As the engine crew's going in, it's a real narrow house, real narrow hallways, real narrow house. So we're kind of bottlenecked trying to get past the engine crew. And as the lieutenant on the engine is in the fire room, he uses his tick, checks that room, and then checks the hallway right past the door, and he sees a woman in a wheelchair. So that's the first victim that was found, and it was with a tick by the first on engine, the fire attack. So he attempts to radio on that there will be pulling out a victim in the front yard, can't get through, just keeps getting bonked. So I go on the radio and tell the command will be coming out the front door. That first lieutenant, he tried wheeling the wheelchair down the hallway, but caught on fire hose, ends up dragging her down the hallway. And because it's so narrow, we all have to back out. We can't go past. So my whole crew and the first on engine and the victim come out the front door. He pulls her out to the front yard, and then now the search team goes in. The probationary firefighters did great. He stayed at the fire room the whole time, so we had no worries on the fire side. It is just a charged house. So as we're going in this hallway, you go down a straight hallway, and then it makes a 90 degree to the right. And then off of that, you have the kitchen and a living room. And we start with a split search there, checked both of those areas, and you go down the hallway again, makes another 90 degree to the left. So now the hallway has made a Z. And then off of that, there is other bedrooms. So we started with my crew of three. We did a split search as we went down that hallway. And then as we started making our way towards all the bedrooms, we started moved into oriented search. I was staying in the hallway, and my firefighter and driver were catching the bedrooms as we were going down. So we make it all the way to that hallway. It's still completely charged. You can't see anything. And we clear all those rooms. We're going to the back to the front of the house to the area we haven't searched. And I realized we missed a door that was on this main hallway. As soon as I opened that door, that bedroom's also fully charged. So as I reached in, I felt what felt like a stomach of a patient. And he was up against the door. So it was real tight getting into the door just to move him out of the way so we can open the door a little bit. The first victim was pretty small, was a small lady. This victim was much bigger. So we end up getting the door open, roll him to the side a little bit so we can get that door open. And he's oriented head first, like head to go out that front door. So we decided to go that direction. We pretty much the firefighter and driver would grab the wrist of the patient. And I was crawling with my shoulder up under the hips, essentially. And he was big enough to where if we counted it, we would all move on the same time and we'd get like 3 or 4 feet. So we continued this down the hallway. The one of the big learning curves for me was not only was this the biggest patient that I pulled out, the we also had to drag over the fire hose. So it was bigger and slippery, and then also dragging over the fire hose in this narrow hallway, it created issues. We just continued doing that same thing. This time the smoke's starting to lift a little bit, so we're starting to be able to see a little bit as we're coming back down this highway. We got hung up on the 90-degree curve or 90-degree turn, and the fire hose right there. But once we were able to communicate, get around that turn, we were able to get back out to the front yard with them, and we were able to pass them off and then go back in and finish our search.
Nice, man. A lot to unpack in this one. So, just to kind of reiterate, fire attack went in. They put a hit on the fire. Lieutenant noticed a victim in the wheelchair. Left his probie at the line to keep that fire in check while he did the removal. You know, a lot of times we do training and teaching and stuff, and we'll throw a victim in a wheelchair or something, but. You know, and a lot of times, you talk about, are you going to get the victim out of the wheelchair to get them low and drag them? Are you going to use the wheelchair for your advantage? I'd never thought about struggling with the wheelchair over the hose. So how do you end up maneuvering that? Just kind of once he realized that the hose was in the way,
Yeah, he tried wheeling her out and then caught that first hose and then just grabbed under her arms and started dragging and just removed her from the wheelchair.
that makes sense. But that wheelchair sounds like presented another obstacle where you had the narrow hallway and you guys were trying to come in as he's trying to go out. So that kind of paused that a little bit. How was the communication with that between
The
crews?
communication was great in between the two crews and then also with command on the outside. So other than the radio issue immediately, trying to get out to let command know we were bringing one out. Other than that, all the communication was great. It was a good transfer once we got outside.
Nice. And then man, so you end up running across a second victim. Talk a little bit more about running up against a victim behind a door. Because that seems to be happening more and more.
So we're assuming that it was this victim was the one that was outside with the green line. So we think that went back inside to get the mom or whoever it was out, and I guess went got overcome and went into that bedroom and shut the door. So once I opened it a little bit, I could probably open it on maybe a foot, and it was obvious just feeling what was there. So that from there, it was just being able to fit through that door and then roll him over to the side.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to crush that door open and do any more damage, but so it's kind of like that fine, get a little and get through. So that's cool.
Right.
So you talked about it's a big victim. Can you estimate that size?
I'm guessing 275. I don't know for
Yeah,
sure.
that is big. And so head towards the door. So you guys went with the wrist drag.
Yes.
You guys on the wrists, and you were doing that pushing, kind of a 1 2 3 go, 1 2 3 go type thing,
Yes, sir.
and take a little bit. What did you guys do, like dealing with the slipperiness? Was it just like figure it out, or did you like you, how'd that work for you guys?
Yeah, it was figuring it out. And one of the benefits of us having to do the 1 2 3 was they were getting a different grip every time. So
Yeah.
you weren't necessarily losing it, you were just regripping. I think from the time we found that second victim, it took us 2 minutes to get them out.
Still good. Talk about the dragging over fire hose. A lot of times we talk about victim drags and we're, whether it's on carpet or tile or wood or something like that, the victim moves pretty good, but we don't talk a lot about stuff in the way. And a fire hose isn't that big, but talk about how that kind of jacked you guys up a little bit.
So the fire hose would catch and it would almost spring back. So as you would drag, it would pull, and then you would lose like 6 inches out. It would spring back almost. So it was just coordinating a little bit of lifting as we went over it. Once the visibility started lifting, also that helped.
Cool. Yeah, and then I love at the end how you pass the victim off and then end up finishing the search. So, can you talk to us a little bit about the timeline on this from arrival to first victim out to second victim out, if you've got it?
Yes, sir. So victim one, from first on scene to victim one out of the house was just under 6 minutes. And then victim two, once victim one was out, we went back in. It took 3 minutes to find victim two, and then another two to get out. So the second victim was out just shy of 12 minutes.
Awesome. Outstanding. So let's talk a bit about what you guys have done since this fire. So how, this is kind of a career fire, but also a good opportunity to reiterate why you guys do what you do and, what's better to teach from real life experience. What happened after this fire within your department?
So I think one of the biggest things is having our helmet cams. So it's you can't get better training than our helmet cameras. So being able to all the other crews watching the same video and learning from that. But as far as actual techniques and stuff, we went and immediately after we of course started questioning how we drug and if it was the right way, if it was the best way to go through the window, which had its own issues. So we did we've done a bunch of training on different drags and techniques. I still don't know if I would have changed on that particular call as far as dragging front with the legs versus going head first. I don't know if it would take longer on that particular one, just with the positioning and how small our houses are. But we've definitely done more drags.
Nice. Department, or as far as helmet cam, is that stuff that you guys buy or does the department provide? Or I know that's kind of a controversial thing. Cops got this camera thing figured out, but fire
Right.
department, we're still reluctant to embrace.
Right. And we've seen it in other cities also where it's used against the members, but that's not the case here. All officers are issued a helmet cam, and it's just to get better.
That's cool. How does that information get filtered out? Because that's a slippery slope from, not in the chief role. It's like, man, how would I make sure guys don't post that on social media? But like, how do you guys, what do you guys do with that footage afterwards?
So it goes on to a common drive for everybody in the department. And nobody has posted anything of it, so there hasn't been an issue. I think you guys are smarter than that. But yeah, it's on a common drive, so everybody has access to it.
Nice. How long you guys been doing that for?
Maybe 5, 6 years.
Oh, nice. So been doing that for a while. That's awesome. Anything else you want to throw in there before we wrap up?
No, sir. I don't think I have anything else on it.
Man, I appreciate it. So many good things. Love hearing this story. And then also just love hearing what you guys did after the fact on the training and even helmet cams. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you to find out about like the training you did after the fact or to get more information on maybe incorporating helmet cams into their department, what's the best way to do that?
You can contact me at BA Phillips at HaltemCityTX.com.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing the story. To anybody out there, if you get a grab, we want you to go to Firefighter Rescue Survey and fill out that information. That's for us. by us just to make us better. And if you want to record the Grabs podcast, get a hold of me. We got some other guys that are doing this as well. The easiest way is grabspodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email or look us up on Facebook and we'll get it recorded. But thank you, Brian. And until next time, get out there, get your searches done.